Next on BYUSN, the transfer portal doesn't take weekends off, so we'll recap the news surrounding Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders, and we'll discuss the chances that they actually return to BYU. Plus, Matt Norlander of CBS Sports will join us to break down the hiring of Kevin Young and how the hire is being received nationally. Easton Jones continues to swing a hot bat for BYU baseball. He'll join us in studio to discuss how the Cougars can get back on track when they host Utah tomorrow at Miller Park. Plus, a walk-off home run helped BYU softball get their first Big 12 series win and continue its push for the NCAA tournament.
Bejarano, high, deep, gone!
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. I'm happy to report my voice is back. After that.
Yeah, those are one of those ones where, like, you immediately look for the lozenge afterwards, right?
Monday, April 22nd, I am Spencer Linton. He is a huge fan of the Earth. And of America, right, Jason? I know it's not patriotic, necessarily directly tied to Earth Day, but when I heard Earth Day, I was like, I'm going all America today.
Look, like, I know we're in the two box now, but I just feel like I need to
salute the flag.
I love that shirt. I'm by a huge fan of Earth Day, meaning I don't even know what it is. I assume it's a day to celebrate the Earth, but I don't know.
Aren't you going to plant a tree today or maybe some flowers in your front yard?
No. But for those that celebrate Earth Day, happy Earth Day to you.
Fair enough. And I appreciate the salute so much. I just started my week off the proper way.
I like it. I like it.
All rise and shout. Much to discuss. Let's get to what's trending.
Backdoor Noah driving dunk. Jackson Robinson, and Jackson hammers it home.
What I want to do to take it to the next level is make this place the best place in college basketball to prepare young men to play in the NBA. And I think with my background, I think we're going to be able to get that done. And I really look forward to doing that.
What's trending presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. Well, Jason, over the weekend, we tried to get some sleep, tried to catch up, get some rest, you know, recuperate. Transfer portal, it never goes to sleep. It's like credit card interest, Jason. It's always there. BYU's Richie Saunders and Dallin Hall currently in the portal. You may have heard, BYU fans, and we discussed Friday how we were feeling about the chances that those two prominent and important players return to BYU and hold the core of what the Cougars did last year essentially together. Since then, we've learned that Dallin Hall has added Duke and Virginia to his list of high-level suitors who have high-level NIL capabilities and certainly prestige on the Duke end. And Richie Saunders is currently visiting Kentucky. He was greeted by Leanne and Mark Pope at the airport today. Matt Jones, radio host in Kentucky, said Mark Pope's been personally picking up and taking recruits to the airport this weekend for visits. I don't think I've ever heard of a coach doing this before. This is one of Mark's guys. This is not a shocker that he would do this for Richie. But the point remains, the push is full on for Richie at Kentucky, and the list for Dallin Hall just gets more convoluted with so many different high-level options. So, Jason, my question is, did this weekend's transfer portal news change your opinion on who, if any of these guys, will be back for BYU next season?
Yeah, unfortunately it has. And when you and I were talking about this last week, and again, this is not coming with information. This is just my gut feeling and sort of reading the tea leaves with all of the information that's coming out. It feels like there's a real chance BYU is going to lose all these players. Now, that's certainly not set in stone, and you never know. And what I'm hoping is, and look, we hear this when it comes to normal recruiting, where you have five official visits. And even if you really know where you're going to go, why not take advantage of being able to experience all of these new things? So what I'm hoping is that Richie is just doing that. I told you last week, I felt pretty good that Richie was going to come back. I can't say that I feel the same way today as I did last week. I was really hoping that with the hiring of Kevin Young and what we saw, that was going to be enough. And we had heard that was very well received. by Richie and others.
Yes.
And so I was very hopeful that that meant, you know what, let's just go ahead and kind of what we saw with Trevin Nell, although Trevin wasn't in the transfer portal, you sort of see it like, I'm all in. And we haven't seen that. And now Richie's going on this you know, look at Kentucky, which he has every right to be able to do. I just don't feel as confident. And right now, if you were to ask me, we already know Khalifa is going to Louisville. So the other two that are out there that have been made public, you know, with Saunders and Hall, if you're asking me today, do I think either of those are coming back? Well, I certainly hope it's the case. My answer, if I had to go yes or no, would probably be no.
Yeah, leaning toward no. It's tough to see those images because you know the relationships that exist between Mark and Leanne Pope and Richie and his wife. Like, those are things that you can't put a price on. And obviously Kentucky basketball is as blue as a blue blood gets, but it's the relationship that Richie has with Mark that makes me go, okay, I know that Richie was in on the original call with Kevin Young when he went on Zoom and greeted the whole team and started talking about Chris Paul and Devin Booker and visiting guys and getting them to work out with the Suns and like all of that stuff. Richie was on that call, and I know he was very excited about the prospect of doing that. And I know that one of his major concerns had at least partially been resolved, which is, well, I don't know who the coach at BYU is going to be, and there's just so much speculation out there. Once Kevin Young was hired and that call happened, Richie was on it, and he was excited, visibly excited. We all would have been when talking about what Kevin Young brings to the table as the NBA's highest paid assistant. Dallin Hall was not on that call. Jackson Robinson was not on that call. And Ali Khalifa was not on that call. Everybody else was in that room and there. And so there was this idea that, okay, now we think that Richie could be coming back. Well, now he's visiting Lexington in Kentucky, and he's going to be overwhelmed when he walks into Rupp yeah. Arena and he sees all the prestige and the championship banners and the hardware, and like, that's going to be tough to beat for sure.
And we don't know what they're going to offer in terms of
an NIL deal.
We don't know that.
Frankly, Mark Pope is a little bit desperate right now because he's had so much of his roster leave or declare to go pro. There are a ton of open spots on Kentucky's roster right now, and so the push for Richie, I'm sure, has gone next level. And he's got Cody Feger working with him as well. And Cody's an incredible recruiter. We hate that he left BYU because he was so good for BYU.
Love Cody.
Now he's on Mark Pope's staff and already doing some significant work. So, and we know that Cody Feger was highly valued among the players. Like, there are a lot of players that would have been fine if Cody had been hired as the head coach. So they're working around that, Jason. I don't know. I'm probably leaning like 30 to 40% that one of these guys comes back, and more like 60 to 70% that both actually leave. I stand corrected on Friday. I thought we're going to find out that at least one of these guys is coming back by this time next week. And I don't know if I am there right now.
Look, if last week taught us anything, I think one thing we can take away, and look, maybe we're just grasping at positive straws here, but we talked about how the morning that Colin Chandler decommitted to BYU and committed to Kentucky, just how low of a morning that was, right? Everybody was down. Everybody was depressed. And then guess what? By the end of the night, everyone was elated with the hiring of Kevin Young. The wild swings of emotion, we've seen that multiple times as sports fans. And last week, we thought, oh, wow, this thing is bad right now. And then it got great by the end of the day. Maybe this is another one where we're thinking, oh, it's not going our way right now. But maybe by the end of the day or by tomorrow, you never know what can change. And again, maybe I'm just grasping at straws because I really want Richie and Dallin to come back. We've talked about the production that they bring. Just in terms of Richie's numbers are what they are.
Yeah.
But it's not just his numbers. It's his attitude. It's what he brings to the game at really important times. He lifts everybody up with his energy and what he does on the floor. And I don't want to lose that specifically.
No BYU fan does. And when you look at the Ken Pomeroy Index and, you know, BYU's numbers as a team, they were off the charts good this season. They finish at number 18. They're a top 20 KenPom team because of who was involved and how unselfish and the best locker room in America rhetoric is out there. But you just talk about, like, individual players. Richie Saunders, from a national standpoint, in terms of, like, effectiveness rate, like, he's a top 40 player as an individual based on what he does in the minutes that he is playing on the floor.
Yeah, people that just look, they're not going to understand how important he can be to your team.
For sure. So that's tough because, you know, he's an energy guy. He's the Energizer Bunny. But every team has those guys. Richie's a scoring threat, too. And he just makes everybody around him better. So, yeah, no question. This one hurts a lot, Jason, if he decides to go to Kentucky. And, frankly, you see these images. That is really tough.
Looking on the other end side of it, the personal side of this, I like both of these guys. You and I get a chance to talk with them, and we get to do interviews and talk off camera with them. Sure. I like both of these guys in Dowlin and Richie. So I certainly hope that there's an opportunity for BYU to still be in the mix with both.
By the way, for those wondering, I said top 30 national player. Offensive rating, number 27 in the entire country, Richie
Saunders. There you
Saunders.
Go. All right, so last week, one of the major topics was the fact that Mark Pope, since leaving to go to Kentucky, had not made any statement, any thank yous, made any mention of BYU outside of the slip up on SportsCenter when he talked about being a diehard Cougar fan.
I'm a huge fan of the Cougars.
But yesterday, that changed. Yesterday, Coach Pope did put out a statement yesterday morning saying, quote, "On this sacred Sunday morning, I am filled with immense gratitude for the blessings that have led us here. BYU will always be an incredibly special place to our family. Soon after we arrived at BYU, one mentor told me that, quote, BYU had more to offer me than I had to offer BYU. Those words proved to be so true as we felt the BYU experience change our lives for the better. It's overwhelming to reflect on the countless lifelong friendships that we forged at BYU. We are so grateful." So the statement came out. What was your reaction to Mark Pope's goodbye message to BYU?
One, wow, it actually happened, because I had gotten to the point
you
where
thought it was
I
not
didn't
coming
expect
at all.
It to happen, because we had been 9 days removed from when he was announced over social media that he was Kentucky's next head coach, and a full week from when he was introduced. And I just thought, you know what? Maybe Mark doesn't do goodbyes. It's kind of weird that there's no, like, closure there for the fans. I just thought it was strange that the fans didn't get their goodbye. And so I was happy. Like, I was happy that it happened, because I know a lot of BYU fans were kind of at odds with this, where they're like, I like what Mark Pope brought to BYU, and it was really exciting, and I enjoyed the games, and I enjoyed his teams and his charisma. Why hasn't he said goodbye? Like, I want to root for his teams at Kentucky, but as fickle as people and fans can be, I don't blame BYU fans for the way they felt before they got the goodbye from Mark Pope, which is, if he doesn't take the time to at least, like, say thank you for a second, why should I root for Kentucky? And so I'm happy on both sides that now BYU fans can have their closure, mm-hmm. and that there doesn't have to be this weird thing where it's like, well, gosh, it's going to be hard to root for him at Kentucky because he just bailed and didn't say a word to us. So I think this was obviously the right move by Mark, and I thought it was well-crafted, it was well-versed. Just a little strange that it took as long as it did to get there, but I'm happy for both sides of this. There's closure there, and now BYU fans can feel at peace that he loved BYU, and that if they want to root for him at Kentucky, now they have what they need to do so.
Yeah, when it came out, I was one that I still was surprised that it had not happened. So when it finally came out and it was there, I thought, okay, good. Now everybody can turn the page. He acknowledged what BYU meant to him, and we can drop this as a storyline. And so I was like you. I thought it sounded like it came from the heart, like it sounded genuine, like everything about it was great. And then, but with hindsight, there's a part of me that's like, but when he sent this, he knew he was going to have Richie in Lexington that night. You know what I mean?
There's that inner cynic speaking to you, Jason.
So there, you know, the fan in me was like, ah, you know. But at the end of the day, because it had been so much time since he'd left, you know, I think there were a lot of people resigned to the fact that it wasn't going to come. The fact that it did come, I think, was good. I do believe it was genuine. For whatever reason, it just took him a little bit longer than maybe what people thought. I liked it, but yeah, knowing that Richie was going to be in town that night, looking back on it in hindsight, it's
interesting timing here now that he's closing in on one of BYU's guys.
Yeah.
And not just that, the number 27 offensive rating player in the entire country in Richie Saunders. I think we can just like tie it off now.
Yeah,
and
now
call
just
it
move
good.
On with it. Like, just move on with it.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's done. And it didn't take much. That's what I said last week. I'm like, hey, little statement, 15 seconds, whether it's text or it's a video, just something to like thank specifically BYU fans. And
the message was great. It really was.
I've got a bunch of cynics around me, too, on social media. People are like, oh, well, apparently his sports information director finally got to him that this would be the good publicity move. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not. I don't care about that. I'm not going to go down that road. I'm happy that both sides can kind of like come to this. Hey, good luck. And he said, thank you to the fans for all their support. Great.
Yep.
Let's move on.
Time to move on. Yep.
All right. I don't know how we'll feel about that if Richie Saunders actually signs with Kentucky. Will we still be
Spencer's
okay.
tone will be very different tomorrow if that happens.
Will closure still remain if Richie does sign with Kentucky? So our question of the day, what would your pitch be to Richie Saunders and Dallin Hall to come back to BYU, if you had their ear even for 3 seconds, or if you thought maybe they'll see something I post on Twitter, and maybe they will, what would that message be? At Tactics on X says, stay and become BYU legends. Go to Duke or Kentucky and you'll just be another player. And oh, by the way, stay and play for an NBA coach. This is interesting because, yes, this is an NBA caliber coach, but Richie Saunders is the type of player that's kind of like Mark Pope was at Kentucky. Like, Richie would very quickly, I feel, endear himself
100%.
To wherever he lives.
Yes, fans will love him wherever he
like,
goes.
He will be that guy, that Energizer Bunny, that pick-me-up guy, a legend, if you will, wherever he goes.
Yep.
So
yep.
I don't exactly agree with that part, but the NBA coach, that one is significant. All right, at Puka Jimmer on X says, Kevin Young is building something special. It's happening with or without you guys. We would prefer it with you guys. Kevin Young said he's number one thing. I want to keep all my guys. I want to keep all the players here because these are great players. This is a great team. Gosh, it's just so tough when there still is uncertainty. He hasn't ever coached a college game. So I don't fault them for just like exploring. But my goodness, hopefully the assistant staff can come together and there can be enough of the core that can convince one or two of these guys to come back.
I agree. Join us this Saturday, April 27th from noon to 2 Eastern for the Dallas Fan Fest at the Josie Ranch Athletic Complex in Carrollton. The event will be live on BYU TV, so check it out coming up this Saturday.
Up next, if there's a significant offensive category for BYU baseball, this dude, Easton Jones, probably leads it. And he's previewing a huge matchup against Utah tomorrow. Rivalry baseball is back. This is BYUSN.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
For Easton Jones, a solo shot. Puts the Cougs on top, 1-0, bottom one. Back to the track. It's gone. Home run. 426 feet and 104 miles per hour off the barrel.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jason Shepherd. Joining us now is, in large part, the best, most prolific offensive player on this BYU baseball team. And I say that because he's number one in home runs with 11, number one in hits, number one in runs scored, number one in total bases, number one in slugging percentage. Easton Jones, ladies and gentlemen, what else have you done, Easton, besides all
will you,
that
will you pick it up a little bit for crying out loud?
How would you explain this season for you with BYU baseball from an individual standpoint?
Yeah, it's been fun. Just with all the new coaches and stuff that we have, I look forward to coming to the field every day now and just getting after it with all the guys. So,
how would you describe this year so far? Everything was going into the year, all the talk was going into a brand new league and it's Big 12 baseball. You know, now that you've more than halfway through the season, what has this year been like personally and for the team?
Yeah, I mean, the Big 12, it's a different animal than what we were in before. it kind of felt like in the WCC, it was pretty, what we were getting from all the teams was pretty similar. And now with the Big 12, every team we play is just a powerhouse. So it's been fun. It's been a good adjustment. And we got a lot of young guys on the team, and we're just now getting experience in this bigger conference. So we'll be fine.
What's been the biggest difference in the skill sets that you see, generally speaking, from Big 12 players compared to what you saw in the West Coast Conference?
The biggest change has just been the arms, like the everybody's bullpens and everybody's starters that we've seen. It feels like every guy's up there throwing 95. And so just going off week to week, adjusting to that has been the biggest challenge.
This clearly has not bothered you, Easton. 95 miles an hour does not bother you. The numbers tell me such. Yeah. So how have you been able to handle the transition?
I mean, I think what Coach Coolball does with this hitters is it's helped a ton. We're facing, he sets up those machines down in the cages, and they're just throwing wicked stuff at us. And so everything that we're seeing from the arms, I feel like we already see down in the cage. And he tries to make it as game-like as possible. And I think it's helped me a lot, and it's helped our hitters. So.
Well, let's stay on that track. When Spencer was going over the numbers, let's talk about your power numbers. Last year, 3 home runs. This year, you lead the team with 11. You lead the Big 12 conference with home runs in the Big 12 with 9 in conference play. What do you attribute your power numbers jumping up like they have?
I think just over the summer, I've matured a little bit more. Last year, I feel like I was still a baby compared to all the guys out there. And so I went up and played in that summer baseball league up in Canada, and something kind of clicked for me, and I just feel like once I came back, I just started hitting the ball all over the place. So,
talk to me about the summer league baseball, because obviously guys have done that for years, and a lot of BYU players have participated in different leagues throughout, you know, the last couple of decades. Why is that so important for you guys that get the opportunity to do that, to go play there?
The biggest thing for like the position players is just going out there and getting more at bats, because I mean, I went up there and I got 250 at-bats, and so I came back in the fall and I just felt like I was prepared and ready.
What is the team goal at this point? Because it is an uphill climb. I know you've had some struggles in Big 12 play at home in the last two series. There are still games to be played, however. So what is your realistic team goal for the remainder of the season?
Our biggest thing is we want to make the conference tournament, of course, and we still feel like we can do that. And we feel like our best baseball is still in front of us, and it feels like whenever school kind of gets out is when we kind of start getting hot, just because we're worrying about less stuff. And so we're gonna make a push here at the end to try to get into the tournament. So
how a team handles adversity usually will, you know, kind of decide how the rest of the season goes. How do you feel like the team has handled the record not being what I know you guys would like it to be?
Yeah, I mean, our games, they feel closer than like what the scores are saying. I mean, we make a few mistakes in the game that kind of have cost us lately, but we feel like we can hang with all these teams still, and yeah.
Easton Jones is with us on BYU Sports Nation, the top hitter for the Cougars. And let's go ahead and add some more fun numbers, shall we? You hold the longest hitting streak on the team this season at 12 games. And you've played some nice defense, only one error this season. So that maybe that's a little bit overshadowed, but what have you done specifically to work on your defensive game, and how can that maybe translate over to helping some of your other teammates avoid those critical, those terminal errors that have hurt you in the recent past?
Yeah, Adam Law has been huge with us infielders. He comes out there every day with a ton of energy, and he wants us to get better, and he loves working with all of us. And every time we go out there, just hitting like 5 different kinds of balls at us. He's hitting lacrosse balls, softballs, squishy balls, all at us, just get different feels. And it's not fun when you're doing it, because it's hard. But it's made all of us better infielders. So
one of the things that, you know, people may or may not be aware with this team is just how young you guys are. And not just age, but in terms of production, this team lost so much production off of last year's team. Last year, you were the freshman. Now you got another group of really talented freshmen and, you know, first-time players that are coming here, maybe transferring from other schools. What have you made of the talent, that the young talent that has come into the program?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for us right now because all these guys have so much experience, like all these Big 12 schools that we're playing. And so for us, and with our young lineup, with like guys like Deming and Gamble, all those guys leaving last year, it was a little bit of a question mark just because none of us have had all the experience in this big conference. And so just with those young guys going to summer ball and getting all those at-bats is going to be a big time for them.
Easton Jones, BYU Baseball is on BYU Sports Nation. You turn your attention out of conference tomorrow to another heated rivalry game with the University of Utah. What does that game mean to you and your team, given that it isn't a Big 12 game yet? It will be next year, but still an out-of-conference situation.
Yeah, we always love beating Utah. So we were able to go up there last time and beat them. And they're playing good baseball this year, but coming into our park, we don't lose at home normally, and so we'll get them.
What is, you mean, you're a local kid, you're Utah County kid. What does that rivalry mean to you, BYU versus Utah? Especially because I'm assuming that there are a lot of players on Utah that you grew up playing with, whether it be high school, whatever the case may be. As a local kid, what does this rivalry mean to you?
Yeah, I got a couple high school teammates that are up there playing at Utah, and so it's good to always see them. But, you know, we got to beat Utah.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
It's pretty simple and straightforward. Yep. To quote Easton, we got to beat Utah. Yeah. Okay, that it is what it is. Okay, I ask every baseball guest we have, almost like a tradition here for me, at least on this show, about superstitions, because there are so many superstitions tied into the sport. Where do you fall on the spectrum? Like, do you have superstitions, and if so, what are they?
In high school, me and my buddies were super, like, if we did something one day and we won, we'd have to do it the next day. But I've kind of let that go now that I've got to college. But the biggest thing that I think that we look forward to, my kind of group of guys, is the early hitting on the game days on the field. We love going out there and blasting the music and hitting bombs in BP.
What's your playlist? Like, what is your playlist like?
Well, I live with a Hawaiian kid, so I listen to a lot of reggae. So, yeah.
All right. That's what it is.
Yeah, I've listened to a lot of reggae just because of him now.
Let's go. Listen to reggae. Beat Utah.
There we go. I like it. We got to beat Utah.
Let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma for the game tomorrow. Good luck against the Utes.
Thank you.
Thanks, Easton.
Thank you.
All right, BYU Baseball. We've been talking about it, hosting Utah tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You can check it out. You can listen on BYU Radio or watch it on Big 12 Now on ESPN+.
Cue the Bob Marley, Jason. As a BYU fan, are you cheering for or against Kevin Young with the Phoenix Suns? Because the shorter their playoff stint, obviously the quicker he gets to BYU. But you want him to do well. Where do you fall on that spectrum? We'll discuss next on BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jason Shepherd. Let's roll out today's headlines.
Well, according to John Rothstein of CBS Sports, BYU men's basketball will host Central Arkansas as part of the Cougars' 2024-2025 non-conference schedule. Also, we've been talking about it, Richie Saunders is in Lexington for a visit with Kentucky, and the list of suitors for Dallin Hall has increased by 2. You can now add Duke and Virginia to the list.
ACC needs to get out of here. BYU softball earned their first ever Big 12 series sweep over the weekend, taking down Iowa State for three straight wins. Thanks to some crazy dramatics on Friday night, game tied at 7 in the bottom of the 9th, extra innings, BYU's Maddie Bejarano walked it off for the Cougars. The 1-1, Bejarano, high, deep, gone! BYU walks it off in the bottom of the 9th! That game was absolutely bonkers, Jason. Holy cow. Then Saturday's 8-5 win completed the sweep. BYU's now 26-19 on the season, 8-13 in the Big 12. Their NCAA tournament resume looking better and better.
BYU baseball drops games 2 and 3 on Friday and Saturday to Oklahoma. That's now back-to-back series sweeps by visiting teams in Provo. The loss drops BYU to 6-15 in Big 12 play. They'll look to bounce back tomorrow when they host Utah at 8 p.m. Eastern on BYU Radio and ESPN+.
Yeah, they're probably going to have to win like 5 straight in the Big 12, seriously, if they want to have a shot at making the
tournament. Got to be top 10. Yep.
BYU men's and women's track and field competed at the Mount SAC Relays and the Aggie Invitational over the weekend. Annalise Hart ran a program number 3 overall time, 57.11 in the 400-meter hurdle. She was flying, and Hart helped the 4x400 team to a third-place finish as well.
Good luck to BYU men's golf as they begin play today at the Big 12 Championships in Trinity, Texas. Also, BYU women's golf took 13th at the Big 12 Championships this past weekend.
BYU men's and women's tennis both wrapping up their seasons in the Big 12 tournament. Both programs on the rise. Still some work to do, but hey, on the rise. The men's team lost to Texas. The women's team lost to Texas Tech. Fun to watch that team as they progress.
Former BYU standout Olivia Smith-Griffiths scored her first career goal for the NWSL's Utah Royals on Saturday in a 5-1 loss to Racing Louisville.
And in the minor leagues, Daniel Schneemann had another nice weekend for the Columbus Clippers in AAA baseball. 3 hits, including a double and another home run. He's now batting .233 with those 3 home runs on the season.
Will the Guardians just call him up, please? The guy can play like 5 different positions. Yes. Just call him up and he can hit.
It's going to take an injury, maybe a lull at some point of the season where maybe one of their stars wants a break. I don't know.
Schnee needs the call up, yes. All right?
He's playing well. Yes. Those are today's headlines. Now some opinions in the whip. The Cougar Whip Round presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
All right, the NBA playoffs officially underway. The Minnesota Timberwolves beat the Phoenix Suns in game 1 of their first round series. We obviously know Kevin Young is the associate head coach of the Suns, also the new head coach of BYU. Are you cheering for or against the Suns as a BYU fan?
I'm cheering for the Suns. I know getting Kevin Young to Provo and like in the office and around, like, yes, it's beneficial, but I would like to see him have some success, at least win a couple of games in the series against Minnesota, right? I know people are like, oh, just have the Timberwolves sweep him and get him to Provo. I don't want him to go out that way with the guys he's worked so hard with and been so close with. Honestly, I don't think, maybe I'm crazy, people are like, no, every day matters, every minute. He's doing work outside of like the actual games with the Suns. He's on the phone, he's on the computer, like, you know, I'd like to see him leave on a high note.
I'm the same way. Look, he's being pulled in a lot of different directions right now, and he's got a lot on his plate, but he's talked to us, and he said he's gonna do this. He's gonna find a way to make sure that he's giving the attention that both need so that both can be successful. So yeah, I want him to have as much success as possible, because when he's successful, BYU can be successful.
And I'll add this, he's already doing work in the transfer portal. I know it stinks to think about Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders leaving. Kevin Young is contacting and getting contact to some high-level players in the portal that otherwise BYU wouldn't because of his name. And I'll leave it at that. With all the names floating around the National Hockey League and a team to Utah, but without a mascot just yet or a name, Jason, what's the favorite name you've heard thus far?
Okay, so my personal preference was the Utah Freeze. That's not one of the options, apparently. But of the options that are out there, I am Team Blizzard. Utah Blizzard. And then you can have the Yeti as your mascot. So I like Utah Blizzard.
You like it better than Outlaws?
Outlaws is my second choice, yeah.
See, I'd probably lean towards Outlaws in it. It's because I've seen some awesome like depictions of what the logo might look like according to some fans. I think it's great.
Yeah.
I'd choose Outlaws. I don't think it's going to be that. I think it's probably going to be the Blizzard. But is that too close to the Avalanche?
See, people say that. Who cares? What does it matter?
It doesn't.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't really
matter. It doesn't matter. Yeah. All right. Softball got their first Big 12 series sweep over the weekend. Is BYU softball going to make the NCAA tournament?
Their RPI is hovering around 50. Gordon Eakin says he wants to be in the mid-40s to feel confident that his team would be in a position to get an at-large berth. For BYU to be in the mid-40s, they probably have to win 10 conference games. They've won 8. They have 6 remaining, 3 against Baylor. You're going to call that entire series.
Yep, I got it this week.
Looms large. And then a tough series at Kansas, who is one of the top 4 teams. Jason, if BYU can get to 10, they're firmly on the bubble. If they get to 11, then I think they're in, baby.
All the way to
11 conference wins. And frankly, it could be in the regular season or tack on one more on the Big 12 tournament. Like, so just give me 11 Big 12 wins somewhere. If you have to combine between the postseason tournament and the regular season, great. 11 is the magic number.
Yeah, there's still work to do. That's why this series at home this weekend against Baylor is huge.
New York Mets general, or Jets rather, not the Mets, the Jets. General manager Joe Douglas confirmed that quarterback Zach Wilson is skipping voluntary workouts, but the team still views Zach as an asset. Okay? Do you think Zach Wilson is going to end up being a New York Jet for another season?
No. I actually think when we get to the draft this week, things just happen around the draft. And while there hasn't been a whole lot in terms of trade, at least it's been made public, I think that's the way it's going to play out. And the fact that he's not there, I think we'll see something around draft.
So just full clarity, I have not heard Jason's answer or opinion on this at all. I 100% agree. Yeah. If it does not happen during the draft,
yeah, then I think he's back.
Then he's back, yes, with the Jets. Yes. That's what I was, yep, going to say. If, yep, something doesn't happen during the draft this week, then I think he's going to be a New,
yep,
York Jet.
Yep, 100%.
Crazy. After the break, Matt Norlander of CBS Sports, who was all over the Kevin Young to BYU storyline, will join us to discuss how the national media and the national college basketball scene is viewing BYU's hire of Kevin Young. This is BYUSN.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B alongside Jason Shepherd. I'm Spencer Linton. We now welcome in CBS Sports senior writer, a man who was all over the Kevin Young to BYU as the next head coach of the Cougars story. He is Matt Norlander. Matt, welcome to BYUSN. How are you today?
Doing well, fellas. Thanks for having me on. And yes, we officially have the coaching carousel closed. Kevin was the final high major hire, but as we speak here over the weekend, the final couple of mid-major hirings were done. There were 63 changes in this year's men's Division I coaching carousel, which is not an all-time record, but is pretty high. Anytime you crack 60, that's a significant number. And we waited on BYU to finish and finalize, and so it has.
What has your week been like over just the last 7 days that included the breaking news and, you know, your reports and a Woj bomb that was around Kevin Young because of his NBA ties? What was that like for you to follow that story?
It's just the job. It's good. I traded text with Woj on it because I had had it for a minute and I was like, I actually thought Woj was going to get it first because Kevin's obviously an assistant in the NBA. And then I took too long. And sure enough, as I was getting ready to send the fire on the tweet, Woj beat me to it. And so we had a chuckle over that as expected. But no, it's slowed down finally. I mean, it was really, from the reporting end of stuff, from the Sunday at the Final Four, when we got word out there that John Calipari was going to go to Arkansas the day before the national championship game. That's really, it's been wild. And the BYU hiring actually tracks all the way back, not even to just SMU hiring Andy Enfield, but SMU even going into the ACC, which prompted them to want to make a coaching change after just 2 years. Like if you're a BYU fan and you want to know, how did we wind up with Kevin Young as our coach? You truly, truly, I'm not kidding about this. You have to go back to UCLA and USC in 2022 opting to go to the Big Ten, which eventually triggered the downfall of the Pac-12, which enabled SMU eventually to be able to join the ACC. And then those boosters being like, we want a new coach.
Yeah.
And that triggered an entire wave. So it's truly the events that led to this are 21 and a half months old.
That's crazy.
And getting Kevin Young to BYU. But that is the origin of all of it. It's
so
wild.
You're, yeah, telling me the BYU fans shouldn't be mad at Jack Golke, because a lot of BYU fans are mad at Jack Golke and said, he made 10 threes and that's the reason this happened.
I mean, there are many different, it truly is wild, the different kind of factors and levels with all of this, including, by the way, just, since we're kind of diving into this, Jerome Tang got really close to taking the Arkansas job. And that's been the one thing that's gotten kind of lost in all of this stuff, is if Tang didn't opt to stay at Kansas State, then Calipari never goes to Arkansas and Mark Pope's still coaching at BYU. So there are many, many factors that led us to this point here. It's been an insane past couple of months in college basketball with the amount of changes and just the ripple effects and chaos theory and butterfly effects, all that stuff going down. It's been wild.
Well, Matt, to say that BYU fans are excited that Kevin Young is the head coach would be an understatement. What was your reaction with the news that that's where BYU was going to go?
So I was a little bit surprised in this regard, Jason. I didn't think that either Alex Jensen, who obviously is the other NBA assistant that had ties to the job, or Kevin Young were going to take the gig, because these are a couple of men who are tracking and have been tracking toward being an NBA head coach eventually, and that's obviously a job with plenty of prestige. But come to find out, to my surprise, genuine surprise, Kevin Young was identified by Tom Holmoe in the process before Pope even got the Kentucky job, you know, as he should. Like, Tom's a very smart man, and every AD has to have this. Like, you have to be prepared at a moment's notice to replace your football coach, your head men's basketball coach, your head women's basketball coach, and like your biggest sports in particular have to have names on a list. And Holmoe had Kevin at the top. But truly, this wasn't like we're going for our second, third choice. Like, Kevin was the number one pick, and he zeroed in on him to a point where I you know, eventually learned of it as we got closer and closer. And I'm going to say this on BYU TV, and as Tom didn't get back to me on my texts and phone calls, when that happens, they are telling you without explicitly telling you. And then fortunately I had a source or two that was able to confirm that with me. And then Tom was plenty available as soon as it was made official. It was clear to me that he had become the guy. And what was surprising about it, though, and you guys have probably talked about it, and your networks talked about it plenty in the days since the hiring, was basically BYU opting to go outside its norms and protocols when it comes to hiring coaches. Because the one thing that I was assuming was going to have to be the case, because BYU is a different place, was, you know, typically it's a minimum of three candidates that get vetted and get formally interviewed for a hiring process to a head coaching position. But this was viewed as a different thing. Obviously, Ryan Smith's involvement in this, Danny Ainge's involvement in this, led the process to be expedited to get Kevin Young. And he even took his name out of the running for the Brooklyn Nets head job. I was told by one source he actually turned the Brooklyn Nets job down.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes in the industry, sometimes that can truly be the case, and sometimes it's done for cosmetic appearances. But regardless, he's all in on this, and the fact that it led to him is super intriguing. I can't wait to see what he does as a coach in terms of playing style. As we speak here, actually, Kevin Young's back on campus in Provo today on Monday, April 22nd, for only the second time. I think he spent like 6 total hours on campus there since he got the job, but getting back in there, trying to finalize some coaching assistant hirings, trying to figure out which players. I think BYU has 7 players on the roster right now. I think 7 that haven't gone to the portal. Who's going to stay? Who's going to go? But was a surprising name. I know I'm being long-winded here, but I didn't think that an NBA guy would take the job. But now that he did, from a reporter standpoint, I'm fascinated by it because he is someone different. I fully expect him to bring at least one, if not 2 people from the NBA ranks along with him to join his staff. And there will be a very intriguing flavor at BYU with Kevin Young opting to coach in Division I, which he's never been a Division I head coach. He's only spent 1 year in Division I, period. So it will be a major change for him.
Matt Norlander is a CBS Sports senior writer. He is on BYU Sports Nation. Everybody wants to know who Kevin Young's assistants are going to be. You just kind of alluded to the idea that 1 or 2 NBA folks may be in the mix. What are you hearing on a timetable and names, if at all, of who could potentially be on his staff?
Yeah, so I had a carrot dangled to me that there's apparently like a pretty intriguing big name, but that name has not been given to me yet. We'll see if that name comes to be, and if so, the timeline on it, I would hope by the end of the week. A lot of this is going to depend on when the Phoenix season ends. So if you're a BYU fan, you find yourself in the semi-uncomfortable position of rooting against your head coach right now. Because you do not want the Phoenix Suns to continue playing deep into the play. You don't. You want him to be fully able to commit to the job. And like, it's just unavoidably true. Like, this is super weird and awkward that you have a guy who has accepted your head coaching position, but he's not leaving the NBA right now. And it actually can be worked against you. Now, BYU is a different enough place where the kind of player you're getting, who you're recruiting, like, you have a more narrow spectrum of player that you're recruiting. So I don't think it'll have like true massive, massive impact, but it's unavoidable that by the pure nature of Kevin Young sticking on with Phoenix until the end of that playoff run, whenever that is, whether it's 5 days from now or 5 weeks from now, like, it will be used against BYU in recruiting. It's unavoidable, and they got to try and work around it. Stanford assistant Brandon Dunson, former assistant, I fully expect him to be on and added to BYU staff and for that to be made official by week's end, if not the next 24 to 36 hours. And then we'll wait and see on the actual NBA names there. But they'll fill it out soon, and I have no doubt that Kevin Young has been working bless his wife and family. I would genuinely imagine he is working 18-hour days minimum at this point, trying to give all that he can to BYU. And then at the same time, still being, he's the top assistant for the Suns. So it's been insane. But real quick on this, I truly don't mean to be long-winded, but there's so much here. I will say this. He did previously coach at the G League level as a head coach. And there have been years, undoubtedly, just, I know this in talking to people at the NBA level and G League level, like, the roster turnover is so insane. Like, Kevin Young has probably had G League seasons where he had, I'm not exaggerating, 60 different players he coached in one G League season. So when it comes to that, he's probably not entirely out of his element. And the idea of having massive roster turnover for BYU is not going to be daunting for him. But even if it's not daunting for him, it is the Big 12. It's been the best league in the sport 8 of the past 10 years, and it will be hard. And there's no guarantee that he steps in right away and has a roster that can finish, say, top 8 in the Big 12. Like, BYU fans just need to accept the fact that, hey, listen, 7-year deal for Kevin Young. He's the highest paid coach in the history of that basketball program. They're going to give him runway, and it might take more than just a year to immediately adapt.
Well, and that G League team that he coached was less than 4 miles away from BYU's campus, so he's certainly aware of the area. Obviously know that the transfer portal is a thing. It's only getting bigger. It's not going away. He mentioned in his press conference that his number one priority was to get his guys to stay. We know that the Richie Saunders is in Lexington meeting with Coach Pope and the Wildcats. Dallin Hall's name is out there, added Duke and Virginia over the weekend. How many of these guys do you think realistically will be back at BYU?
That's a good question. I do know that Kevin has been in contact consistently with Dallin and Richie, trying to talk them into returning. And they will obviously seriously consider it, because if you ever get someone to agree to play at BYU, period, okay, you're going to, even if they go in the portal, they're going to take that decision very seriously. But with Dallin and the schools that have been involved, and Richie's obviously pre-existing relationship with Kentucky. Kentucky's in the midst of a very big week with a lot of official visits every single day. Your former BYU coach is hosting transfers there for Kentucky. I wouldn't put it that high, but I will say, because listen, I live in Connecticut. I've never covered a BYU game in person out in Utah. I'd love to change that as soon as possible.
Yes.
And I say this jokingly, Pope could just never convince me to do it. He never got it done. So I there is a certain element to the BYU culture that I understand from afar, but haven't seen up close. And I will unless I literally hear it from a player, I'm never going to say it's not going to happen. So it doesn't. The winds aren't necessarily blowing in the direction that Richie and Dallin would return to BYU, but there is something different, obviously, about that program. And never say never with that. I do believe, in talking to not just, you know, BYU folks, but people around college basketball, I do believe that Kevin Young is prepared and at peace with the idea, particularly because of his G League background, if they truly have a roster rebuild and it's like they only bring back 3 or 4 players who played last season under Pope, while fans might start grip their seats a little bit at that, just know that your head coach, I think, is more than okay if it winds up going that way. Not even out of desire for it to go that way, but understanding that this, again, will be a process. It's going to take years, and he wants to get the guys that truly want to be there and who he wants there, and consider, like, he's going to have a certain system. It's going to be different from Pope. Not drastically different, by the way, but different from Pope, and just keep that in mind. But I would lean right now with Hall and Saunders not returning. That's a lean, not a guarantee. I'm not projecting it to be 100%, but that's just based on conversations I've had in recent days.
Matt, so much great stuff. We need to do this again. My producer's telling me we got to go to break so we can get this show off the air at the right time, but let's do this again soon, because we got to talk Utah hockey.
Yeah, he wanted to give us a name
too.
Yeah.
Just we can go. We're up against the break. I'm just saying, either have it ski related, can't be Avalanche, can't be Blizzard or Yetis. A lot of these other nicknames, they're absolutely atrocious. You have to have a good nickname if you bring a new hockey team to town. That's all I'm saying. Has to be a good one.
Thanks, Matt, so much. Matt Norlander of CBS Sports.
What was fantastic.
Oh, great. What would your pitch to Richie Saunders and Dallin Hall be to come back to BYU? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYUSN. What would your pitch to Richie Saunders and Dallin Hall be to come back to BYU? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. Jacob Dawson on Facebook says, Coach Young was the highest paid NBA assistant, has endorsements from Booker, Durant, and Chris Paul. Those three have said they will come work out with the team to help, and mostly he knows how to get the next step. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Softball, shall we,
BYU
Jason?
Softball, first Big 12 sweep.
Our thanks to today's guests, Matt Norlander and Easton Jones of BYU Baseball. All of our shows are on demand, BYUSN.com. For Jason, I'm Spencer. Go Cougs!